We're joined now by the Rector, Professor Chaim Hammes, the University's Chief Academic Officer. Professor Hammes, thank you so much for joining us here on The Home Run. Can you give us a sense of the scale of the damage that the university sustained during Operation Rising Lion?
Well, thank you for hosting me and good afternoon. I'm actually speaking to you from my office on the campus, so I'm glad to say that we are back on campus and in fact, the campus is open to anyone who wants to come, but that wasn't the case a week ago. Right, a week ago, the campus, our main campus in Be'er Sheva, we have three campuses, but our main campus in Be'er Sheva basically was damaged as a result of the blast that hit Soroka Hospital, which is just across the road, and is our teaching hospital, right? So it's part of the university. And the damage there was immense because there in Soroka, it was a direct hit. But the effect of the blast hit about 30 to 40 of our buildings, causing an enormous amount of damage to infrastructure, mainly windows and doors and ceilings. And other things, thank goodness no one was actually, no one was hurt. But the extent of the damage is great, but and the cost of fixing it will be high, but at least no one was injured. So at the end of the day, we're pretty lucky. You know, we are, and we're able to, we will be able to fix most of the damage.
Professor, I understand that several research laboratories were destroyed. Can you talk about what was lost and how it affects long-term projects?
Yeah, so most of the, as I said, Soroka Hospital is our teaching hospital and our medical faculty. We teach, we have a medical school, and of course we train doctors and nurses and physiotherapists and other medical topics and medical subjects. So we have labs both in the medical faculty, which is on right by Soroka, and in Soroka itself as part of our bed to bench research initiatives, and six labs dealing with biomedical and other issues were totally destroyed, sadly. And our researchers, together with their students, are now are working on discovering just how grave and extensive the damage is. I'm not talking about the physical damage here. Yeah, I'm talking more about the loss of
Doctor.
Research and loss of materials that were gathered, DNA and other stuff that were gathered from patients over many years. For some, it's going to be a setback of years, and hopefully for others, it won't be more than a few months. But it's very, very difficult to give some sort of estimate as to the amount or the extent of the damage, particularly the intellectual damage in this case, but it's definitely extreme.
When you say a setback of years, I mean, one doesn't automatically think about that when one thinks about the loss of the damage caused by the missiles. Professor, what has been the impact on students and faculty? You mentioned no one had died, but I'm talking both physically and emotionally.
Well, as you know, since the 7th of October, we have we've been going through a pretty tough period, and this war, this 12-day war, took it to another extreme. About 40, 50 of our students lost their homes, right, mm-hmm. as a result of the missiles falling on Be'er Sheva. And a number of our faculty live all around the country and come and work here in the university. So some of them were affected, some affected by missiles that fell in other places around the country. As you can imagine, losing your home is a pretty terrible shock. But again, you have to remember that hundreds of our employees lost their homes on the 7th of October and are still unable to go back to their homes in the Gaza envelope. So it's a sad thing to say, but we've become used to dealing with the ramifications of people losing their homes. And we do as much as we can, of course, together with the government that has to take responsibility too, right, to ameliorate and help as much as we can these families to find alternative living spaces, and to get their affairs in order as they reorganize and rebuild, you know, their lives.
If I can ask you just to elaborate on that, what kind of academic and emotional support is offered to students by the university, especially those students who've been drafted into the reserves?
So perhaps I should say that we have about 20,000 students at the university, and over 7,000 have been on reserve military duty since ever since the 7th of October. We of course have we give them psychological and mental health and support, but as you can imagine, moving from the battlefield to the classroom, or moving from the battlefield to the lab, is not an easy thing. And I think we're still in the early days of what will become a major issue of PTSD. We've seen some of it in our students, but we're still living through this very, very difficult period. And I think many of us have not yet been able to process everything that we've been through. And I think that's something that we're going to have to deal with down the road.
When you say you see some of the PTSD in your students, can you explain what you see? And I'm also curious, do you slow down the curriculum if so many students are in the army or serving in reserves, or are they somehow expected to catch up when they come back from their reserve duty?
Well, as I said, the the movement from battlefield to classroom is not an easy one, and every single student is an individual, and each individual reacts in different ways. So it's very difficult to generalize. What I can say is that we give our students all the support that they need in order to be able to finish their degrees. In other words, if it takes them a bit longer, it takes them longer. I tell the students all the time, there's one thing that we can't give back to you, and that's time. Okay, the time that you spent in the time that you spent in the military, the time that you spent defending us and making sure that we can continue to do what we need to do is it's very, very precious, but it's not something that we can give back. And so we'll give you all the support you need to be able to make up in your own good time what you've missed. I also tell them that we have no intention of compromising on the quality of their academic degree, because down the road that will only hurt them when they go out into whatever industry or workplace they want to or career that they want to pursue. So we make sure that they have what's necessary in order to allow them to make up the materials in, you know, according to their abilities and needs, according to the energy that they have and the time that they need to readjust. So it's complicated. It's complicated matters both for our students and for us as a university, but it has to be done.
Looking forward, what will it take for Ben Gurion University to fully recover, and how can the global Jewish community help?
The obvious answer as to how the Jewish community can help is, of course, tons and tons of empathy and lots of money. But beyond the money and everything else, we're very resilient, and we've already shown that many, many times. You know, it's not. Think about it. We're 40 kilometers from the Gaza border. We've been targets for missiles for over 16 years. Right. It's a weird thing to say, but we've grown used to dealing with it, and we rise to the challenge when we need to. The challenges now are, of course, much, 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 much greater in scale. But I'm sure, you know, as I said to you, we're back on campus. Our students are coming back onto campus. We're starting we've just finished the semester. The exam period is beginning. We're going to have exams on campus as planned. Life continues. We're going to be fine.